Yakub Avraham.
This is Kufav, isn't it?
Yeah, this is Kufav. You see it? Kufav.
Yeah.
So you're good. Okay.
Can I ask a question while we're
here? Sure. Right. I was about to start, but yeah, go ahead.
So, I mean, it's not true. You can wait till actually to the end of the board, whatever.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I just want to get started.
No problem.
Okay, great.
I won't forget.
Okay, because otherwise, it's, you know, my... I won't be able to... Yeah. So what do we have and what do we not have? What do we know and what do we not know? The Gemara on Daf Kuf Vav, Omer Aleph, understands that Kol HaMekalkalin Peturin without any exception. Rabbi Avoh has a brisa that says Chutz Michovel Umavir. Rabbi Yochanan makes some sense out of that by saying that we're talking about chovel v'tzorech lekalbo, mavir v'tzorech li'afron. Okay then? That we know.
Yeah.
Now, in the case of chovel v'tzorech lekalbo, or mavir v'tzorech li'afro, the Tosfos Rid points out that it's not a real tikkun in the full sense of the term, because in the balance sheet it would really make no sense to destroy something for the sake of Afer or for the sake of Dam. However, since he has a need for it, that itself makes it into a Meleches Tikkun. So let's just review. Overall, this would be a Meleches Kilkul. It's really not worth it to destroy a haystack for its ashes. However, Hana and Kavana play a major role. And that means that my intention and my benefit transforms a Meleches Kilkul into a Meleches Tikkun. In those two cases of Chovel Mavir, Tzorch Dam Lekalbo, and Tzorch Efer. Now the Tosfos Rid asks the following question. The Gemara establishes in Perikal Gadol that if you dig a hole and you don't need to plant in that hole, that's called Chofer Guma V'Ein Tzorch Li'Afra, El Li'Afra. He doesn't need the hole, he's not planting, but rather needs the dirt. The Gemara establishes, in the name of Rabbi Abba, that that's called Mekalkel. Now he needs the earth. He needs the dirt. Why is that any different than a person who draws blood by wounding someone and needs the blood, or burns someone's haystack and he needs the afer? And the Tosfos Rid says that there were those who raised this question, but he lashes out against them. Let's just read a few lines of the Tosfos Rid inside. He says,
Rabbi,
yeah?
He said he digs the hole and he needs the dirt.
He needs the dirt, but he doesn't need the hole.
But it's still Mekalkel.
And it's still Mekalkel.
Okay.
So why is that so? Ra'isi Makshim. I'm reading this fast, Don, only because most of the Chevra, I think, have already seen this. I read it yesterday in class, so you know, you'll have to bear with me here. But
just where are you?
That's also a challenge for me.
Okay.
If anyone can point out where we are for Isi Makshu.
I have it.
See, in my page, I underlined it, but that doesn't come out in your page. So again, according to Rabbi Abba, in a case where he digs a hole and he doesn't need the hole itself, he just needs to extract the dirt, he's potur. And even Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Malacha Shein Etzricha Legufa Chayav, in this case would agree that it's potur. Why? The Chashav Le Mekalkel. Now, why is this the calcul? Okay, I admit that in the overall balance sheet, the deficits outweigh the assets. But on the other hand, his hanah and his kavana is to dig this hole. What benefit does he get from the hole? Well, if you're focused on the hole itself, he gets no benefit from the hole. But he needs the hole in order to get the dirt. The dirt is a way of getting the of making the hole. He cannot access the earth, you know, get the earth for his flower pot unless he digs the hole. Why is that called makalkil when he needs it? And why should it be any different than the case of Chovel, where certainly he benefits not from the victimized person who's wounded, or in the case of Mavir, from the haystack that's been burnt down? That's not beneficial for him. His benefit is a side benefit. He's motivated because he wants to get the dam. He wants to get the afer. That should be exactly parallel to the case where he wants to get the dirt. And he writes, the Tosfot writes, "Vehirbu bazet dvarim betelim." That's a very very sharp critique here. He says those who asked this question added all sorts of meaningless, vain words. But really, v'lo kasha lo midi. They never should have asked the kasha at all. And now, what we have to do for the next three lines is rack our brains and figure out what is the answer to this question. Or, according to Tosfos Reed, it's not even a question at all. Lokasha v'lo midi. He says, the hasam, and I think yesterday I asked you to underline these next four words, the hasam over there, in the case where he digs a hole, chafiras haguma, eino malacha.
Why is not?
Eino malacha. Why do lohavi malacha ela habonev achoresh? Now let's just explain for a moment what he means by bone and choresh. These are two different malachas that are listed in the 39 malachos. If it's inside a house, then it's bone. Again, assuming he needs that hole. Let's say he's going to put a pillar in, we discussed. If it's out in the field, that's called what?
Choresh.
And why? Because that's where he plants. So he needs the hole to plant. So the Tosfos Reed says that the malacha here is boneh. The malacha here is choresh. Again, depending upon where he is. V'yimchafar guma bebayis v'tzarachla. If he needs this hole in his house to put in a pillar, he's chayef. Mishum boneh. Ubisad, if he digs a hole in his field and he needs to put the seeds into the hole, he's chayav mishum choresh. Avolim eino tzarech la bebayis, if in the house he doesn't need this hole, let's assume he was digging this hole in his house, in his living room, ein zeh boneh. Again, I would underline those words. Ein zeh boneh. Because those three words, ein zeh boneh, reiterate what he said at the outset here, chafiras haguma eino malacha.
What is that?
Okay, we're going to try to, let's just try to read it first, and then umishum hachi potter. Therefore, in the case where he digs the hole, let's say it was in his house, and he needs the dirt, he's potter. Now, if you would have asked me the question, why is he potter? I would have given one answer, but he gives a different answer. He says, "Mishum hachi patur deloka avid malacha." It's like the third time he's reiterating the same idea, and that's in the cases of chofer guma b'bayis, chofer guma b'sod v'ein tzarich el liyaf. Aval hacha, but here, in the case of chabura, in the case of mavir, hachabura v'amavir hi malacha. Do you see the contrast here? Before we even try to understand what he's saying, just to get the structure of his answer, he's comparing and contrasting. He's saying chafiras kuma is not a malacha, but chabura and mavir are malachos. Now, in between his opening statement that chafiras haguma ain't a malacha, And his closing statement, that Chabura and Havara have your Malacha, he adds a piece of information of great significance in between his opening line and his closing line. And that is, that what is the Malacha? He says that Chafir Sagum is not the Malacha. So what is the Malacha?
Either Bona or Choresh.
Correct, either Bona or Choresh. Excellent. If it's in the house, it's Bona. If it's in the Sada, it's Choresh. So obviously, what's he telling us here? Just again, without understanding what he's saying, just in terms of the translation of the words, just the mathematical structure that he's creating for us, what is he telling us?
It's a definitional thing. What is it considered malacha and what is it?
Right, and I would say even more than that, Ben, what element here I think should be emphasized here? If chafiras haguma ain't a malacha, but rather malacha is bona, okay, let's focus for time being on bona so we don't get confused with choresh. The same thing could apply in choresh, but let's take bona as an example. Bona is the malacha, chafiras haguma is not the malacha. What is he implying, therefore?
You can't even say it's malacha shein masricha legufa, because it's not a malacha.
Well, wait, I don't know. You may be saying something brilliant, but I'm just on a mathematical level. You're introducing principles in halacha. Just on a mathematical level, what is he telling me here?
It's not
chayim.
A doesn't equal B.
Correct, and therefore what? What do I need between A and B? Something, whatever it is.
Right.
Are you with me? This is a major breakthrough. The Tosfos Rit is presenting a thesis that we assume a malacha is a maisa. In other words, I can describe an action, and that action is a malacha. Says the Tosfos Rit, no. There's an action, and there's a malacha. And there's got to be something in between. I'll call it a catalyst, or an agent, whatever word you want to use. There's an element in between that upgrades the maisa to a malacha. He's not willing to say that In the case of Chabura and Mavir. If I wound somebody, that's a malacha, says the Tosfos Rit. If I burn something, that's a malacha. In the first case, it's Meleches Chovel, or Chabura, if you want to call it. In the second case, it's Meleches Mavir. But when he gets to Meleches Bone, he's not willing to say that Chafiras Haguma. I mean, if you would have woken me up in the middle of the night and asked me what is Bona or what is Choresh, I would have said Chafiras Guma. No, he's not willing to accept that. Chafiras Guma is not a malacha. I have to make it into a malacha. I need a certain agency, almost a middle power or an element here that's going to convert or transform Chafiras Guma into a malacha. In the case of Chovel Umavir, I don't need to convert the Chovel or the Mavir into Malach, because Chovel and Mavir are Malachas. And Ben, again, I'm not disagreeing with what you said. I'm just going step by step here. You know, I'm taking baby steps here. The Tosfos Rit comes up with a distinction here, which I don't understand yet, but at least I can formulate it. You know, that itself is a is one level of accomplishment here. Chafiras Guma ain't a malacha. Chabura vavara hi malacha. Chafiras Guma ain't a malacha, and therefore I need to make it into a malacha. So my equation, or my definition of bona, as Chafiras Guma, or Choresh in the case of a Sada, as Chafiras Guma, is that correct or not correct according to Tosfos Rit?
Not correct.
Not correct. In other words, you would ask me, well, what is Bona? I would have said Chafiras Guma Babayas. What is Choresh? Chafiras Guma Basode.
The Kabanah Lezoreh.
I don't know. Again, Rabbi Osei, you're already a step in. You're introducing Kavani, you're introducing Tzricha L'Gufa and all that. I'm not ready for that yet, Rabbi Osei, because, again, you're going to just derail yourself. I'm warning you here. I'm sorry. Why am I warning you? Because if you can introduce Kavana and Tzricha L'Gufa, I'm going to say the same thing in Chovel Mavir. So I'm trying to see. Wait a minute. I'm trying to see if I can stick very closely. Yeah. You know, to hang in there to the language of the Tosfos Rit without introducing you know, extraneous concepts in order to understand his fundamental distinction here. Because again, once I'm going to start introducing Kavana and what his Tzorech is, then I'm going to always ask you the question, well, even in Chovel Mavi, he's not Chayiv unless he has a certain Tzorech. He's got to feed his dog. So then I'm going to say to you, well, in the case of Chofer Guma, he also has a Tzorech. He's got to get the dirt in order to fill up his flower pot. So that's why I want to circumvent at this level all our discussions about Kavana and what he needs and what he wants. I think that the fundamental breakthrough here, which I don't understand it yet, but at least the words, you know, in Yiddish we say "vashtet in the verta." You know, the first thing that a lamdan has to do is ask himself, what does it say in the words? And he's saying in the words that chafiras guma has to be upgraded to the status of malacha. In and of itself, it's not a malacha, but chovel umavir in and of itself, each one respectively, is a malacha. That's what I have so far. You know, yeah, Shmuel?
I think there's a difference in the characteristic of the activities. If you actually did...
So wait, Shmuel, I just want to understand. You want to explain why Chafiris Guma is not a malacha?
Yeah.
No, but Chovel Umavir is a malacha.
Why that makes him talk about Kavana and Chovel Umavir not. Because when you did Chovel Umavir, the word, the whole... if you got it done, right, you also had a certain accomplishment. The word chovel means you already got the blood out, right? The malacha is done. The word mavir, the thing got burnt. But with chofer, a lot of things could happen to dirt or not happen to dirt.
Well, I wouldn't say dirt, I'd say the hole, maybe.
Well, no, but that's the whole point. Maybe you didn't get a hole. You just were a hole for a little bit. I'm just saying, it doesn't imply that you achieved.
I know, he says he says he was hole for a guma, so obviously he has a hole.
Okay, so I'm just saying that with Kabbalah and Mavir, there's nothing else left. You achieved your goal. Did you do it with Kavana or not? We can still talk about it. But when you talk about the hole for a guma, It doesn't say if the man completed something he meant to do. There's now earth moved, and you don't know what he did with that. It's much the nature of the malacha is much less complete in the action. If you already got blood out, it's out. If
you when you say it's less complete, are you willing to say it's less significant?
No, it's just
no.
That's the name of the malacha, the action. It requires a bit of explanation to say how it got completed.
By the way, in the Mishnah in Klal Gadol that lists the malacha, is Chafiras Guma one of the 39?
No,
doesn't appear. What does it appear? It appears in a different name, either in the case of a bias bona or in the case of a soda chorish. Mashen kein chovel mavir appear in the Mishnah.
That's the whole.
Okay, chovel is a little more complicated because there's shchita. But let's take the case of mavir again. Yeah. Chovel or Chabura is okay, but this is way advanced. That's called a Ko'av, meaning sometimes the Mishnah, like for example, the Mishnah might say Bishul, but it means Afia. It might say Afia means Bishul. Again, there's a difference between cooking and baking, but as far as Avos Malachos is concerned, both are Avos. So there is an Av Malacha called Chabura. In fact, Mila, circumcision, is called Chabura. The Gemara even has a sugya Masechta Ksubis about a first consummating a marriage with a woman who never had a relationship with a man. That also might be a chabura. The Gemara calls it chabura. Chabura itself has the status of a malacha. It's called a malacha. There's nowhere, anywhere, where you'll see Chafiras Guma as a malacha. It just doesn't appear.
Okay.
So that's important. Anything else, Rabbi Osai?
Yeah, Joseph. It's also read, when he says Chovel and Mavir, he's going in Rabbi Yochanan. Isn't he going in the idea that it has Kavana to it, it has a Tzorach to it? If you did Chovel...
Absolutely. Rabbi Yochanan says Chovel or Mavir without any purpose would be Mekalkel.
Right. If you did Chovel to look inside the body when you put in a catheter, of course that's not going to be a Malach, right? Because you're not... The whole purpose of Chovel is to extract dung. The whole purpose of Mavir is to create Pachman. It has to be the Tzorach. It's implied. The Tzorach is implied.
But that's, I don't know if, Joseph, what you say might be true. I don't know. I can't evaluate what you're saying, but does it help me here? Meaning,
of course.
How does it help me?
Because Chafiras Guma without the Tzorach of Koresh or Bona is right. In a Malacha. And same with Hobel and Makar, they're exactly the same. There's no difference.
So wait a minute, are you making life easier for us, or are you exacerbating the problem? Meaning, why? How is Chovel and Mavir different? Yeah.
That's not different. Chovel, Mavir.
But isn't he saying that they're different? Meaning in the case of Chovel or Mavir, yes, you're going to be Chayo?
He's assuming he's going in Rav Yochanan. The Chovel
okay.
And the Mavir he's talking about is Litzora.
Okay, and what about Chofer Guma? He
it's
also
not,
has Litzora.
It ain't a Litzora.
It's what do you mean it's ain't a Litzora? He needs it. He needs it for his flower pot.
But it's
Eina Litzorech.
Eina Litzorech, Etzem Malacha.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you say that. Maybe you said it. You're saying that it's Eina Litzorech, Etzem HaMalacha. Here it's Litzorech, Etzem HaMalacha. Right?
If you dig a hole for the reason other than the classic Malacha of Bonei HaKoresh, then it's nothing. It's meaningless. Not
that's what he's saying. He's saying that if you dig a hole and you're not interested neither in Bona in the case of a Bias nor in Koresh in the case of a Soda, then it's not a Malacha. What makes it into Malacha, that agent in the middle that upgrades Chafiras Guma into a Malacha, whether it's Bona or Choresh, is the fact that he needs the planting in the case of a Sod, or he needs to put a pillar in the case of his bias. That itself transforms or upgrades the Chafiras Guma and gives it the status of a malacha, because Chafir's Gum itself, in and of itself, is not a malacha. Masha Enke Chabura Umavir, these are considered a malacha. And that's the name. The name is Chabura, the name is Mavir. That is a malacha. Now, if I don't have a need for that malacha, says Rabbi Yochanan, that becomes what? Makalkel, right, Makalkel. So I have to need the Malacha in order to fulfill the requirement of Tikkun and neutralize the element of Kilkul. But even if apparently I start with Chovel Mavir per se, and at this point I don't even know, I can bracket what his needs are at this point, just put that on the side, I have a Malacha. In the case of Chafiras Guma is not a Malacha, and what makes it into a Malacha is the fact that it becomes Bona, it becomes Choresh, insofar as it's a preparation for the next stage. Now, I don't know why the Malacha of Chabura and Havara are different than Chafiras Guma. I mean, one could argue ostensibly that I need to make it into a Chabura. But the Tosfot says that the fact that I need the dam to feed my dog, that doesn't make the Chabura into a Malacha. The Malacha was there even before I needed it for my dam. Or for example, for my dog. In the case of Mavir, forget about the Afer. It's a Maleches Mavir. It's a Maleches Mavir. Maybe... Again, I don't know if anyone is willing to accept this, but maybe Chafiras Guma is nothing. It doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't accomplish anything. In a certain context, it could accomplish anything, but without that context, it's a meaningless act. Not so in the case of Chabura and Mavir. In those cases, it's a very profound act. The only problem is, it's Makalkil. If it's Makalkil, I have to somehow... overcome that difficulty that Makalkel is potter in Shabbos, and Rabbi Yochanan wants to salvage that problem because he has it, so he needs it. If he needs it, that's called a tikkun and not a Makalkel. But even before I get to his need, I already have a significant malach.
It could be Chafiras Guma v'derech Kilkul.
Yeah, I'm not denying it, but the Chiddush of the Tosfos Rid is that don't say that Chafiras Guma is a Makalkel. If you're going to say that Chafiras Guma is a Makalkel, then you're back to the question of Ra'isi Makshin, because if Chafiras Guma is a Makalkel, we can solve that problem because Tzarech Liafra, just like in the case of Mavir, in the case of Chovel, we solve the problem of Kilkul because he needs the Dam, he needs the Afer. Here too, in the case of Chafiras Guma, if your only issue is what? Is Makalkel, I can solve that issue because you need what? You need the offer. No, says the Tosfos Rid, you're mistaken. Don't apply the principle of Mekalkel to Chafiras Guma. The principle of Mekalkel applies when you have a Malacha. You have a Malacha, now you have to investigate that Malacha, subject it to a microscope, and decide whether it's Mekalkel or Metaken. But that's only because you started with a Malacha. Chafiras Guma is not a Malacha. And if it's not a Malacha, then forget about Kilkul, forget about Tikkun, forget about all that stuff. You don't have a Malacha. And that's the major breakthrough in the Tosfos Rid, that Chafiras Guma ain't a Malacha. What makes it into a Malacha? A particular context. I'm avoiding the word Kavana here at this point, because I don't even want to introduce the Kavana element here. The context means that the man is building a house. The man is planting a field. In that context, all of a sudden, Chafiras Guma, which in and of itself would be meaningless, you know, if we would abstract Chafiras Guma without a context, you know, if it was flying through the air, I would say it's not a malacha. There's no significance, there's no chashivas to Chafiras Guma. What makes Chafiras Guma chashuv, and therefore gives it the status of malacha, is the fact that it's being done within a broader context, within a process. What is that process? The process is building, or the process is planting. That framework, that frame of reference, can give Chafiras Guma a chashivus. We don't even have to discuss the issue of Kavana. We don't even have to discuss the issue of Malach Sheni Tzricha L'Gufo, what was this Tzorach. Forget about all that. First and foremost, put the Chafiras Guma into some sort of context. If it's not within a framework, what is Chafiras Guma? A man sneezes. Is that a Malacha? You know, maybe the biologist will tell you it's very significant to sneeze, but that doesn't make it a Malacha. A Malacha has to change something in a significant way. And Chafiras Guma changes nothing. Yeah, he's got a little dinky hole there, so what? It's here now, it's gone tomorrow, it doesn't mean anything. But if it's within a process, now you'll ask me, where do we see in Hilchos Shabbos that there's a significance to process? There's one malacha in the 39, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, where the malacha itself is predicated on the fact that it's part of a process. Excellent. Makeh B'Patish. Brilliant. I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Tzvi.
Tzvi says something brilliant. I'm beginning to think that Tzvi might be a little bit too advanced for this shit. He knows, already knows this, because I'm not going to get to Makeh B'Patish for about 6 months from now. You know? Makeh B'Patish is like, oh my gosh, Makeh B'Patish is like, when you get to Makeh B'Patish, you know you're ready to finish the job. You know, but okay, so Tzvi is right. Makeh B'Patish is within a process. I'll give you an example. In the manufacturing of cars, of automobiles, correct? So you have what you call an assembly line. There's one assembly line that prepares the bolts, you know, for the wheels. There's another assembly line that prepares the pipes for the carburetor. And there's a third assembly line that prepares this and that and everything. What is Makeh B'Patish? Who's chayav for Makeh B'Patish? The last one in each assembly line. It doesn't mean I have to wait until the car is ready to drive. I just need one makeh and only that guy, you know, after everybody's finished. But we need a process. And in each process, there's an end point, which is called Makeh B'Patish. Here too, I think, the logic is identical. The Tosfos Rid says Chafiras Guma has to be part of a process. Otherwise, it's not a malacha. For example, if I take a hammer and I bang it on this table, that's not Makeh B'Patish, because it's not within a process. It has to be a culmination of a process. The context gives the malacha its significance. And that's what he wants to say about Chafiras Guma. Therefore, says the Tosfos Rid, that even if he needs the dirt, that doesn't jack it up to the level of Bona or Choresh. Needing the dirt is irrelevant to Bona. What's relevant to Bona is needing the hole in order to build. What's relevant to Choresh is needing the hole in order to sow, in order to plant. Masha'enken, Chabur, and Havara, these are significant activities that don't have to be part of a process. This is not something to sneeze at. You know, he draws blood, Hadamu HaNefesh, the Gemara says, right? Or Havara, which means that he takes an existing object and he converts it to dust, to ashes. You know, that's very significant in himself. But here there's a different problem. The problem is not the chashivas of the malacha per se. The problem is not that this is insignificant. It's very significant. But the issue is what? Is mekalkel. Here's where Rabbi Yochanan is willing to say that your individual kavana, your hanah, and your tzorech can transform the malacha from what? From a mekalkel into a mesakin. But if you don't have a malacha at all, and you need this guma, and this chafiris guma for whatever have you, it didn't even get off the ground. It didn't register as a malacha to begin with. Forget about mekalkel or.
I was going to ask, why isn't it mekalkel?
Because it would be mekalkel for sure. It would be mekalkel. But what the Tosfos Rid is saying is this: there are two categories of mekalkel. There's one category of mekalkel that defines the very nature of the malacha. The malacha per se is pure kilkel. There are other malachas which sometimes are mekalkel and sometimes are metaken. You and I would have said, and that's what the Yesh Makshin, which he doesn't like too much, were asking, well, even in the case of Chofer Guma, your whole issue is mekalkel or mesake. There's nothing deficient in the act itself as far as it warranting the status of a malach. It's a malacha. Malach is bona, if it's in the house, malach is choresh, if it's in the field, it's a malacha. Narvas. The question is it mesakein, is it not? Does he have a tzorech? Does he not have a tzorech? Is it mekalkel? Is it not? If it's malach, etc., etc. No. Counselor Tosfos Rid says, we haven't gotten to the point yet where we can discuss all these issues of the chashivas of the malacha, what we call malachas machsheves. Does he have the right kavana? Does he write tzorech? Is it mesakein? We haven't even gotten to that point yet. Because even though he needs the dirt, that has nothing to do neither with malachas bone or malachas choresh. And therefore, we're not even in the league over here. We're not even in the ballpark. We're not talking about a malacha. It's not a malacha at all. When can you tell me that your tzorech is meaningful? That's because you implemented a malacha, and now it was mekalkel, so your tzorech makes it into mesakin. But if what you implemented is not a malacha, it doesn't even have the status, it hasn't passed the bar of having the chshivas of a malacha, then he says your tzorech is not going to create a malacha. What's going to create the malacha is a certain context, a certain process. There's a progression in which I plow the land and I make holes in the ground and then I turn over the ground and then I plant in the ground and so forth and so on. Okay, that's what I see here in the Tosfos.
You can't make him chaya for Stam Chafira, even if he needs the dirt.
Correct. Chafira is nothing. I would even go so far as to say that according to Tosfos Rid, there would not even be an Iser Derabbanan for a person to be chofer guma. When do we say that the rabbanan asked it? That's when you have a malacha, but it's missing some extra tikkun element or whatever it might be. But if it's not even a malacha, it's completely out of context. So I'll give you an example. The poskim talk about nowadays. It's already begun that when I go out to my car in the morning, it's already the window's already covered by like a fog, right? So the poskim want to know if somebody writes his name or two letters in the fog with his finger, if that's awesome. So some want to say that's meleches ksiva, but it's edom is kayemes, and therefore it's also midrabbanan. A ksiva sheinam is kayemes is also midrabbanan. We can only be matir, b'tzorech gadol, and b'makom choli, and das, and yens, and so forth and so on. Here some poskim want to go as far as to say it's not even also midrabbanan. That's not ksiva at all. It doesn't even have the basic elements, the ingredients of meleches kosa. That kind of logic, just in terms of the overall structure, the Tosfos Rid wants to apply to Chafiris Guma. Chafiris Guma is nothing. Chafiris Guma only becomes a malacha within a certain context. When it has that context, then you can talk, well, is it mesakin? Is it not mesakin? Did he do kashir? Did he not do kashir? Is it malachas makshevis? Is it not? But first you got to jack it up to the status of a malacha. And you can only do that within the context of binyan or Harisha. But there is no such malacha as Chafir as Guma. There is a malacha called Mavir, there is a malacha called Chovel, but there's no malacha called Chafir as Guma. But also, I would suggest, only because time is limited, this was meant to be the end of yesterday's shiur, so let's begin today's shiur. Shmuel, I'm here for the whole morning.
Just for a second. Yeah. You don't mind.
Okay. I'm sorry. I never know when to answer questions, when not.
You
know.
I just wanted to say what you said before about the chashivut of the act and how big an impression it makes. I think there might be some inherent difference about all the malachas that has to do with digging in the earth and dirt, because it's normally totally disregarded. We're walking on dirt all the time, and it has absolutely no chashivus. Where like lighting a fire is almost always an act that really changes things, or harming a human or animal.
I mean, if you talk about soft dirt and I walk on the dirt, I make a hole in the dirt or something.
No, like normally, it has no chashivus. Right. So
it's part of the normal everyday activities. You said
that's become a malacha. You have to say what you did to it.
Right.
But lighting something on fire—that's almost always pretty important.
Right. Okay, Rabosai, with your reshus, again, only because it's already 10 o'clock, and, you know, this halach of Navi Shekavash Nevuasa, you know, if a Navi, when he gets prophecy, he has a tremendous need to transmit that prophecy. So, without further ado, Daf Kuf Vav Amin Aleph, the Gemara says the following. Va'anantnan Kol Hamakalkalin Pturin. So what is this question of the Gemara? The Mishnah says Kol Hamakalkalin Pturin. Rabbi Avo says that there are two exceptions to that rule. What are those? Chovel Umavir. How can I reconcile Rabbi Avo and his Braisa with our Mishnah? Now, if you remember, we argued in the first half of this sugya, Liel, that Rabbi Yochanan couldn't tolerate the brisa of Rabbi Avo for this very reason, because he could not accept that there is such a thing as a meleches kilkul that you chayev for. All 39 melechas require tikkun. That was Rabbi Yochanan's premise. That's on a conceptual level. But on a textual level, we have a more obvious or blatant problem. There's an open contradiction here between the Mishnah and the Braisa of Rabbi Avo. The Mishnah says, Kol Hamakalkal and Pturin. The Mishnah doesn't tolerate any exception. And yet Rabbi Avo's Braisa says, Chutz Michovel Umavir. How is it possible to reconcile the Braisa with our Mishnah? And the Gemara's answer, Masnisin Rabbi Yehuda, Braisa Rabbi Shimon. Now just give me a knee-jerk response. If we're looking for a kula, where are we going to find it? In Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Shimon, right? So the Braisa, which has a kula, and says that, I'm sorry, the Mishnah, which has a kula, and the Mishnah says that Chovil and Mavir, like the other 37 malachas, require tikkun, and without a tikkun yupatur, that Mishnah should be Rabbi Shimon, right? It should be the opposite, right? Rabbi Yehuda is the big machmir. So therefore, if you want to tell me who authored the Braisa, who's so machmir on Chovil Umavir, I would say it's Rabbi Yehuda. And yet the Gemara says, Pungfakir, just the opposite. The Gemara says, our Mishnah, which is Mekil and applies the principle of Makalkil Potter to all Malachas, including Chovil Umavir, that's authored by Rabbi Yehuda. The Braisa, on the other hand, that says that in Chovil Umavir, Yechayev, even though what? Even though it was Makalkel, that's Rabbi Shimon. So I'm both at this point, we have here the following. Rabbi Shimon is the Machmir, Rabbi Yehuda is the Mekil. So Rashi, Dibra Maskil, Masnisin, Rabbi Yehuda. That's right above the Hagos HaBach, I think. Says Rashi, De Islay Mekalkel B'chabura Potur. Rabbi Yehuda maintains the Shita that Mekalkel, even in the case of Chabura, we could add Mavir, is Potur. And that is the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says Kol HaMekalkel Pturin. Now look at the next three words in Rashi. V'lo isparesh hecha. Where is this Rabbi Yehuda? Where do we find Rabbi Yehuda making a statement regarding Chovel Umavir that you're only chayv if it's metaken? And therefore, Kol HaMekalkel and Peturin reflects the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, lo es parish hecha. Now again, we said that Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion that Chovel Umavir requires tikkun, but now the Gemara is pinning it on a Tana, because if we want to reconcile Tanaic literature, meaning a Mishnah with a Braisa, it's not enough to quote Rabbi Yochanan and say that Rabbi Yochanan is the author of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan can't be the author of the Mishnah, he's an Amora. So therefore we have to introduce Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, I can empathize with the Gemara looking for a Tana to explain our Mishnah, but where, how did the Gemara come off assuming that Rabbi Yehuda requires tikkun in Chovel Umavir lo parish hecha? What are the next three letters? Rashi Tevis. What's Vav Lamed Nun? I'm just quizzing you. Okay.
Veliner.
Ah, excellent. Veliner. By the way, that you will see very rarely in Rashi. Rashi's goal, as a general rule, is to be mafarish, is to explain, not to say chidushim. Leave that for Tosus. You know, Tosus is the Rosh Hashiva. You know, he's saying chidushim. But Veli Nira, you know, when Rashi says Veli Nira, it means his back is against the wall and he feels he's compelled to come up with some new insight. Masnisa Rabbi Yehuda, why? Well, this is paradoxical. Rabbi Yehuda is the machmir in Malach Shein Tzricha Gufa, therefore he's going to be the mekil in Chovel Umavir. Makes no sense. Oh, says Rashi, Hilkach Chiyuva de Chovel Bitzarech leKalbo Umavir Bitzarech leAfro Mishkachesle. Well, let's take a breather here, Rabbi Osai. If we could open a window here, it would be great. I don't know, is anyone as hot as I am, or just because I'm drinking tea? Very hot. Very hot.
I think in the next room there's a way to turn on the air conditioner.
There should be an air conditioner, yeah, I don't know. Okay, fine. Rabbi Osai, what is Rashi telling me here about Rabbi Yehuda? Can you read it again?
He's more strict about the way he's going to define Malachim.
I don't know what you mean by strict here, Shmuel, because in a certain sense, I have a suspicion that Rashi is trying to get us to the following goal, to the following end point, and that is that Rabbi Yehuda is going to be the Mekel here. So I don't want to use the word machmir here.
But what is
Rashi telling me here? What conclusion does Rashi derive from Rabbi Yehuda's statement that Malacha Shein Etzricha LeGufa is Chayav? How does Rashi read the words Ein Etzricha LeGufa? How does, again, just listen to the words of Rabbi Yehuda and see how Rashi interprets them. Rabbi Yehuda says, Malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. How does Rashi interpret those words? What does Rashi want to derive from the fact that ena tzricha legufa is chayav? Nobody's with me. So what do I do now, Rabbi Osai? Help me out here. Do I just spill the beans, or should I wait for you to come up with the beans?
Try the question again.
Rashi sees something in the words Malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, and Rashi derives a fundamental conclusion about Rabbi Yehuda that's going to shed a light on Chovel Umavir, according to Rashi. What conclusion did Rashi derive from Malacha she'ena tzricha legufa?
Only.
Meaning what? I don't know what you mean. But I don't know what you mean by only ena tzricha legufa.
It's only a makalka if it's...
Wait, Rabbi Osai, again, I beg you. Don't introduce makalka. It's just going to confuse us. Just focus on these words. The words are malacha she'eino tzricha legufa. Those four words. What did Rashi see in Rabbi Yehuda's statement, eino tzricha legufa? There was a premise here that Rabbi Yehuda was operating with. Azoy zokt Rashi. Rashi tells us that Rabbi Yehuda was operating with a premise. What was the underlying premise of Rabbi Yehuda?
You don't need kavanah.
Just the opposite, Don. You need kavanah. You don't need what kind of kavanah? Legufa. Again, Rabosai, stick to the four words. I beg you. The trouble with you guys, you're all great guys, and I love you very much. You don't begin to know how much I love you. But your only problem is you tend to sometimes go beyond the text. And it's called Mosif Gorea. You know, just stick to the text. To these four words. Malacha she'eino tzricha legufa. What does that imply? There's a fundamental premise that underlies the statement malacha she'eino tzricha legufa. And what is the positive side of it? What does Rabbi Yehuda require?
The action.
No. What's the key word here that Rabbi Yehuda would require, and what doesn't he require?
It had to be something that was done
again. Don, again, you're introducing extraneous words. I just need one of these four words. There's a 25% chance you'll give me the right answer because there are only four words. So if you're a betting man, Tzricha, excellent. Rabbi Yehuda says that you need a tzorech. That's how Rashi learned Rabbi Yehuda. What don't you need, says Rabbi Yehuda? Now again, now it's down to 33.3%. Then now you have only three words left, right?
Legufa.
Excellent. Rabbi Yehuda says you need tzricha, but you don't need legufa. So let me ask you a question. If Rabbi Yehuda says you need tzricha, so how could I be chayv for chovel and mavir? What's Rashi's answer? He needs it for dam lekalma. He needs it for efer. Let's read Rashi inside. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Malacha Shenitzricha Legufa Chayav Alei, but nevertheless you need what? You need Tzricha. Rabbi Yehuda is only giving you a little bit of slack over here. He's willing to give you and grant you that you don't need Tzricha Legufa, but you need Tzricha. That's fundamental. You need tzricha, says Rashi. Hilkach, says Rashi. How could you be chayav for chovel? Where's the tzricha? Okay, it's not going to be tzricha legufa. In the case of chovel or mavir, Rabbi Yehuda is not going to require tzricha legufa. So there are two types of tzrichas. There's one tzricha which is called legufa. There's another tzricha which is called a general tzricha. Rabbi Yehuda's chiddush is that all you need is a general tzricha. You don't need a specific tzricha. Meaning, let's say, for example, in the case of mavir, what would be a good example of lighting a fire? That's tzricha. I need the fire. Not the ashes, but the fire.
Bishol,
chimum, or chom, all the above, right? It will all be excellent examples. That's called tzricha legufa. Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't need tzricha legufa. But what I do need is tzricha. In other words, I need a side tzricha. Let's call it a tzorech tzadi in Hebrew. So I'm going to write that down because if I'm going to use it, you're going to have to figure out what the heck I mean. Okay. Okay. Shitas, this is called Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Be'inon, what does be'inon mean?
We need.
We require. Be'inon, we require. Okay. Tzorech. A need. Okay. Eze tzorech. What constitutes a tzorech? Tzorech tzadi.
As opposed to the gufa.
As opposed to the good, correct? So Tzorech Tzadi means it's external to the essence of the more. And when I say essence, what I mean is the malach itself. Okay, which is called gufa. Gufa means the malach itself. So, when I create a fire, the malach is the fire. Do I need the fire? I don't need the fire, right? What I need is, what I need is what? I need the ashes. That's called the tzarech tzedakah. Says Rashi, don't misunderstand Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's prerequisite for Melechet Shabbos is tzarech. You must check off the box of tzarech. You have to have a need. You don't have to need the melacha per se in and of itself. I don't need the fire. I don't need the wounding of the person, the killing of the person. What I need is the dam. That's called a tzarech tzedakah. That's external. That's something on the outside. Says Rashi, now Rabbi Yehuda is going to accept our Mishnah. What does that Mishnah say, everybody? I need a choir here. Call Amakal Kalim Turim. Everybody, call Amakal Kalim Turim. Including what? Chovel Amavir. Why does it include Chovel Amavir? Because Rabbi Yehuda requires a Tzorah. Oh, Rabbi Yehuda is willing to expand the scope of the Tzorah, to expand the definition of the Tzorah. He's willing to validate the Tzorah study, like, for example, the Dam or the Afer, but there's got to be a Tzorah. Let's read the Rashi at the end, because I didn't finish the Rashi. Rashi says, the Afalpi, the Mekalkel Hu Eitzel Malacha Atzma, and even though you'll tell me as far as the Malacha itself is concerned, he has no need for the fire, he's not using the fire, he's not using the wounding of the victim, that doesn't have any meaning or significance for him, any benefit for him, but nevertheless, Mitaken Hi Eitzel Acherim. Acherim is what we call study, meaning, although the victim is suffering, and that's the gufa shel malacha, and that would have made it kilkul, but nevertheless, the dog is licking up the blood, so he's gaining, he's benefiting. That's Eitzel Acherim. Or, for example, the owner of the Gaddish, whose haystack was burnt down, that's Mekalkel. That's a loss, not a gain. But the Afer, for the purpose of the Mavir guy, right, that's called Tikkun. Ula Rabbi Yehuda ki hai gavna melachahu. Meaning, even though the Tikkun here is tzdadi, it's Eitzel Acherim in Rashi's terms, nevertheless that makes it into a Meleches Tikkun. Now, why does Rashi attribute this concept of Tikkun Eitzel Acherim to Rabbi Yehuda? That Tikkun Eitzel Acherim removes, detonates the Mekalkel bomb, because Rabbi Yehuda had this broader definition of Tzorech, and his definition of Tzorech included Tzorech Tzdadi. So Rashi is making the following equation. Rashi is saying that just like Rabbi Yehuda in Malacha Shene Tzricha L'Gufa accepts a Tzorech Tzdadi, so too if you're defining a Malacha as either Mekalkel or Metaken, the Tzorech Tzdadi, which Rashi calls Eitzel Acherim, is enough to make it into what? Into Metaken. But what's the premise here? Mekalkel is pot. I have to convert the Mekalkel into Tikkun. I will Mekalkel the Eino Mesakein Potur. Adkan. Now let me ask you this, Rabbi Osai. Has Rashi solved the problem and now we understand the Gemara 100%? What do we still have to... What challenge does Rashi still have to face?
The flip side of Rav Shimon.
Exactly. What about Rav Shimon? Rashi says, lo esparish hecha. Fine. So Rashi has this whole ganze pilpul, like a Rosh Hashiv. He says, a whole sheer cloth.
He's giving excuses for Rav Yehuda.
Not excuses. He's trying to show you that Rav Yehuda never gave up on the requirement of tzorech.
Okay.
He gave up on the requirement of what? Of tzorech gufa. But not tzorech. Tzorech is a basic requirement. Is mevela, what do I do with chovel umavir? The answer is, I have to introduce a tzorech. What tzorech do I introduce? It's a tzorech eitzel acherim. If it's a tzorech eitzel acherim, Rashi says, ipso facto, I've solved the problem of mekalkel. But Rabbi Yehuda agrees that until you solve the problem of mekalkel, then mavir and chovel are potter. And that's how Mishnah call hamekalkel in Ptura. But he hasn't yet explained why the brisa is to be associated with whom? With Rav Shimon. That he hasn't got. Okay? So let's see the next Rashi. Now, Rabosai, are you willing to play the roles of empathizers? How many? By a show of hands, how many? Is there anyone here in this room who would want to empathize with me?
Sure, why not?
All right, we got one guy on board. Can we get two? Okay. Two. We got two empathizers. Right. I need you to empathize with me. I'll tell you why. I don't understand this Rashi. Maybe I convince you that it makes sense, but for me, it doesn't make any sense. Rabbi Yehuda's Malacha Shein Etzricha LeGufa presupposes that you have a Malacha. You have a Malacha. And now, the question is it Tzricha LeGufa? Is it not Tzricha LeGufa? Rabbi Yehuda waives the requirement of Tzricha LeGufa. You have a Malacha, you have a Tzorach from Malacha, that's good enough. What does that have to do with Mekalkel? Mekalkel is a whole different issue. Mekalkel undermines the very nature of the Malacha. It's sort of like Chofer Guma, the way we discussed it earlier in the Tosfos Rit. Mekalkel is Eina Malacha Klal. Who says that a Tzorach Tzdadi, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is enough to upgrade a Mekalkel to that of a Metaken? I understand Rabbi Yehuda if you have a Malacha. The Malacha is constructive. It's a Meleches Tikkun. Now the question is, what do you need the Malacha for? Do you need it for X? Do you need it for Y? Do you need it the way they did in the Mishkan? No, you have your own subjective need, etc., etc., as we discussed. That I can understand, but why do you bind Rabbi Yehuda's, why do you twist his arm into assuming that this new definition of Litzarech, the broad Tzarech al Yedei Acherim, is enough to take a Meleches Kilkul and make it into a Tikkun? That's a jump. That's not a fair analogy. I'm just asking for empathy. I have no solution to this problem. I don't understand Rash. I don't want to start crying, but I don't understand Rash. Yeah.
Meaning if the starting point is not a Malacha, what are you talking about?
Exactly. If it's a Malacha's Kilkul, so you can say, well, you need it for X, Y, and Z. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is going to verify that it's a Malacha? That makes it into Tikkun?
Chovel is a Malacha's Kilkul.
Correct. If Chovel is a Malacha's Kilkul... Well, again, the whole point is to say that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of our Mishnah. And our Mishnah says, Kol HaMekalkel and Peturin, including what? Chovel u'mavir. That even though Chovel u'mavir, you might think, and that's going to be Rabbi Shimon Shita, is different. No, Rabbi Yehuda says not different. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Chovel u'mavir has to be made into a tikkun. What makes it into a tikkun? He's going to feed his dog. What makes it into a tikkun? He's going to use the Afer. Who says that using the Afer makes his burning down someone's haystack into a tikkun? Rabbi Yehuda never said that. You can't accuse Rabbi Yehuda of that. That's not fair. If Rabbi Yehuda was sitting here in this classroom, he would say that's a libel.
So
a blood libel for the dog, right? Why is it a libel? Because all I told you was that if you have a malacha, and it's a healthy, healthy malacha, you want to know, well, what makes it litzarech and what doesn't make it litzarech, okay? You have this precondition, and Rabbi Yehuda accepts this condition, that meleches machsheves means it's litzarech. Otherwise, it's not a meleches machsheves. You have a need for it. Okay, I have a need for it. Why am I burning down someone's haystack? Strange. I need it for Afer. Rabbi Yehuda says that's okay. That's considered malacha shein tzricha legufa. He has a tzorach study and he's chayav. But that's only if it's a meleches tikkun. If by its very nature it's a metaken. Well, what's the case? Let's say, for example, you have a foul smelling thing in your rishus hayochid. So you want to take it out and get rid of it. There's something constructive there. It makes life bearable in the house. Where does he want to put it down? So Reb Shimon says, no, he's got to want a makom mesuyam. Remember, hanacha b'makom mesuyam. And Reb Yehuda says, I don't need a hanacha b'makom mesuyam. He needs it, and that's it. That's where it starts, and that's where it ends. But then the malach itself, in and of itself, is creative. And I can give you tens of examples of malach shein tzricha legufa, and in every single case, it's a creative act. But to say now, like, for example, let's say if Chofer Guma is in and of itself is a kilkul, then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that the fact that I need the dirt, remember Rabbi Abba, right? Well, again, this is not exactly the Tosfos read, but it's very close to the Tosfos read. I would tell you the following, that chofer guma in and of itself is a pain in the pain in the neck. Well, what are you making holes? You know, people trip in holes, they fall in holes. I hate holes. When I drive in the FDR in the winter, anyone here from New York, I hate potholes. And you can kill your axle with a pothole if it's deep enough. I hate holes. So he's digging a hole. Nobody needs the dirt. No, says Rabbi Abba, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees it's Meleches Kilku. There's not this automatic assumption that just because he needs it for anything under the moon, that makes a kilkul into a mesakin. Rabbi Yehuda never said such a thing.
There's no such thing that's in and of itself a kilkul. Every one of the 39 malachim can either be a tikkun or a kilkul. Right? Depends on your kavanah. Why do you say there is such a thing as a...
No, I'm not talking... Wait a minute, Joseph. I'm not talking about the 39 malachas that are listed in the Mishnah. I'm talking about anything out there in the world that I do, anything, any activity that I engage in, if it's a destructive action, but I need it for something else...
Why do you call it a destructive action? What's destructive if you need it for something else?
Let's say, for example, I break this table. Would you agree that breaking this table is destructive?
Depends. Is it a bodhisattva? What's the purpose?
No. I break this table. I'm angry. I'm in an angry mood, so I break the table, right? I break the table. That's not a constructive act. So you're going to tell me, but maybe I need the shatterings, you know, the what do they call
splinters.
It? The what? The splinters, you know, I'm going to use it as toothpicks, you know, something like that. So I don't know. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda would say, Yechayev, that's it. But when you have an action that's called kilkul, that's not a malacha. What did Rabbi Yehuda talk about? Rabbi Yehuda was addressing the case of a constructive action. I wasn't destroying, I was creating. I didn't need it for the same purpose that they did in the Mishkan. You remember we had a long discussion that every one of the 39 malachas, they did it in the Mishkan for a certain specific purpose. So Rabbi Shimon says, you're only chayav if you did it for that purpose. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you have your purpose. Your purpose is just as good. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, says Rashi, that you need a litzarech. Otherwise, it's not a meleches makshev. It's fine. But I don't know that this tzarech has the power to take a destructive act and make it into something constructive. Objectively, it is destructive. You broke the table. If you broke the table, that's destructive. You want to tell me where you need it? Maybe yes, maybe no. But don't force Rabbi Yehuda's hand. Rabbi Yehuda is saying something different. To what extent, asks Rabbi Yehuda, do I have to be samud? How do you say that in English? I have to be constricted by the Mishkan. Am I constricted by the Mishkan and saying that this malacha has to be done exactly for the purpose of which they did it in the Mishkan? Correct? And in each one of the 39 malachas, we're going to go back to the Mishkan and we're going to see why they did it. Says Rabbi Yehuda, don't be so strict. Don't be so demanding. The Mishkan just gives you an idea of the malach. It doesn't define and restrict the tzorach. You can have a tzorach study. But that doesn't mean that I can take him a kalkil and convert it to a matakin because he has a tzorach. I don't know. Could be Rabbi Yehuda might hold like that. But don't force Rabbi Yehuda to see it. That's where I need a little empathy. Okay, let's read the next Rashi. What does Rashi say in the next Rashi? And this will be an introduction to the Chavrusa learning that we want to do
Rabbi
for today.
Berzon?
Yeah, no Rabbi Berzon. I got like 2 minutes here to do this Rashi. Sorry. I'm here for the morning. Rabosai, you're going to have to appreciate the fact that that there's certain things we can do in Shia and other things we have to do out of Shia. I'm not flying the coop. I'm going to a wedding tonight. So if my Shia tomorrow is not prepared, you might have to... But that's tonight. So Rashi says, "Ubraisa Rabbi Shimon he the Amar Malacha Shein Etzricha Legufa Pater Ale." So again, Rashi goes back to the drawing board and he says, "Rabbi Yehuda was based on Malacha Shein Etzricha Legufa Chayav." The assumption that the Braisa represents or expresses Rabbi Shimon is also based on Malacha Shein Etzricha Legufa because Rabbi Shimon holds Malacha Shein Etzricha Legufa Pater Ale. Hilchah. Ein lecha chovel umavir she'ein mekalkel. Says Rashi, chovel umavir, by definition, is mekalkel. Why?
Can only be.
Why is it mekalkel? Vafilu mavir etzim likdera. Even if he's burning these planks of wood in a campfire, and he's putting his pot on top of the fire, mekalkel hu etzol ha'etzim. Now I'm going to ask a lot of kashas on this Rashi, but the brilliance of Rashi is stunning. I mean, you know, before you ask kashas, first appreciate the brilliance of Rashi is saying that by definition, any case of mavir, whatever you need, it's going to be a davart study, right? It's going to be etzel acherim. For example, in the case of burning wood, on the one hand, as far as the wood is concerned, it's mekalkel, right? But it's metakin etzel acherim. Why? Because if I want to put a pot on the fire in a way that it's gonna cook the food, I need a fire. But that's not inherent in the planks of wood that I'm burning. That's a side benefit that I get from mavir. Therefore, by definition, every single case of chovel or mavir can only be converted into a metaken if I introduce acherim. But Rav Shimon happens to hold that every case that there's acherim, that's called a malacha shein tzrich legufa. So you're going to be potter. Is Rav Shimon etzal chayim? Rav Shimon lo chashiv. Da malach shen tzrich legufa he elamishum de makalkel bechovu mavir chayav kiniyolif lekame. So let's just present Rashi's thesis, and then I want to leave you with a kasha to think about this. Rashi's shita is that according to Rav Shimon, chovel umavir by definition, since the only tzorech that I have is a tzorech tzdadi, is going to be potter. How could chovel umavir ever be chayef? Why? You'll tell me that chovel umavir is a tikkun because I have this side benefit, but Rabbi Shimon never validated it and never considered a side benefit to be a tzorech. And that's why he says, malach shen etzricha legufa is potter. So chovel amavir, by definition, is a maisit kilkul. The only way of converting it into a maisit tikkun is by introducing a tikkun study, what Rashi calls etzel acherim. But that, by definition, is not a valid tzorech, according to Rav Shimon, who holds malach shen tzricha legufa is patur. That's Rashi. Oh, now wait a second. Rashi's language here, take a look. He says, "Umashu mesakin etzal chayim l'Rav Shimon lo choshev d'ham loch hashen tzrich l'gufa hi." Rashi's telling me that if he would need the malachas kilkul itself, correct, then it would be considered a tikkun. In other words, if you could somehow, according to Rashi, develop a scenario in which he has a tzorech in the malacha itself, what I call internal as opposed to external, then Eino Chinami, that would convert the kilkul into a tikkun. So Rav Shimon doesn't have a tikkun in chovel of mafir. Why? Because of malach shen tzrich legufa. In other words, basically the sheath of Rav Shimon has nothing to do with mekalkel, meaning he's not being mechadesh a new chiddush that in chovel umavir yechayev for mekalkel. He's just basically saying that the issue of chovel umavir is contingent upon malach hashen etzrich legufa. Every case that you want to convert a mekalkel into a mesaken, says Rashi, in chovel umavir is always going to be a tikkun tzdadi. It's etzal acherim, and if it's going to be potter, why? Because it's malach hashen etzrich legufa. So why, according to Rashi, how do we read the Braisa? The Braisa says, "Kol amakalkel p'turim chutz michovel umavir." And the impression you get from the Braisa is chutz michovel umavir that you chayv, even though, despite the fact that what Rabbi Osai, it's makalkel. According to Rashi, that's not what's going on over here. It's not that you chayv even though it's a makalkel. The answer is that according to Rav Shimon, it's a malacha shein tzricha legufa. The logic here has nothing to do with makalkel, according to Rashi. The logic has to do with malacha shein tzricha legufa. In other words, why does Rav Shimon need to tell me that kol ha makalkel in peturim? The answer is because kol hamakalkalim p'turim, and any tzarich you have will be a tzarich tzadi. And if it's a tzarich tzadi, then it's going to be a malach sheni tzricha legufa. Basically, according to Rav Shimon, I don't need the principle of kol hamakalkalim p'turim. It's completely superfluous because Rashi could replace that principle with the principle of malach sheni tzricha legufa. So this is where we break from Chavrus. I just want to make this question clear. I don't understand, according to Rashi, why Rav Shimon needs the principle of Kol HaMakalkalin Peturin. Basically, Kol HaMakalkalin Peturin means that either you have a tzorech that's in the malacha or you have a tzorech that's outside of the malacha. If it's outside of the malacha, it's external, it's acherim, that's a malacha and it's rikha legufa. So the reason why, mimanafshah, either makalkal is going to be chayav, because it's not a kilkul. Why? Because you need the guf hamalacha, internal. Or, if you don't need the internal, and it's study, then you're part of because it's a malacha sheni tzricha legufa. I don't have a single case, according to Rashi, where Reb Shimon would need the principle of kol hamakalkal and p'turin. Because either you're going to be chayav in the case of makalkal, because you need the guf shel malacha, and that makes it into a tikkun. Or you're going to be potter because the tikkun is external to the malach, and if it's not, it's our gufa. So it becomes out that you're potter because the malach shen tzrichu. So Rabosa, what I'd like you to do is go over these two Rashis again, and then the homework for today is to prepare a sugya in Beitza. Tzvi, do we have photocopies for the guys? They already got it?
Yes, we do.
We do.
I have not given them out yet.
Okay, so if you don't mind giving them out, you'll need the following. You'll need Beitza Daf Beis Amid Aleph, Beitza Daf Zayin Amid Beis, and Beitza Daf Ches Amid Aleph. Okay, then once again, I'm here to answer questions. If you can possibly break up into chavrusas of one-on-one, that would be the ideal. I'm not pushing it now, because it's the beginning of the Zman, we're still, it's still trial and error, but the ultimate ideal would be a chavrusa of one-on-one.
Do we have to the whole daf, or just parts of the daf?
Oh, so I should probably underline that for you. Okay, so I should have underlined it before Tzvi made the photocopy, but I'll go around in Ritz Hashem and I'll show you where to focus your attention. It's pretty easy, actually. The second half of the Mishnah, and that Beis Amid Aleph, you want to write this down?
When I get the page.
Okay, no, just write in your notes the second half of the Mishnah, and then write Zayin Amid Beis, the last two lines on the page. Okay? And Daf Ches Amid Aleph, the first three lines. Okay, let me review that one more time. We're looking at the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amid Aleph in Beitza, the second half of the Mishnah, which starts with the word Hashochet. That's line 4, if you don't count the word Beitza. Hashochet. And up until the end of the Mishnah. Okay, then you fast forward to Beitza Daf Zayin Amid Beis, and you'll see a line and a half before the end of the page, you'll see two dots. That's after the first four words on that line. So that's two lines up from the bottom of Daf Zayin Amid Beis, going on to the top of Daf Ches Amid Aleph, up to the two dots. That's three lines on the top of Daf Ches Amid Aleph. Okay, Shmuel, now's a good time to ask you a question. I just wanted to, unless you forgot your question.
I have forgotten.
Oh, okay. Sometimes when I tell a person to hold on to their question, they either forget it later or they admit that there's no question. As a Tosfos Reader would say, Lo kashim, lo midi. Udvar v'telemeim.